Reflections from Torch Trust, focusing on Christian faith and sight loss.
Hello and a warm welcome to Reflections, the show from Torch Trust that focuses on faith and disability in today's world. I'm your host, Marilyn Baker, and it's lovely to be here with you today on this, the third Sunday of Advent. The theme of this day in Advent is joy, and I'm certainly ready for some festive joyousness today. So let's kick off with a classic song, Joy to the World. This version is sung by Kate Rusby.
Joy to the world.
Month, we've been featuring extracts from the wonderful book Christmas by Candlelight by David Thompson. So without further ado, let's hear what David has to say about this Sunday. This is also known as the Day of John the Baptist.
Blessed are you, Sovereign Lord, just and true. To you be praise and glory forever. Your prophet, John the Baptist, was witness to the truth as a burning and shining light. May we, your servants, rejoice in his light, and so be led to witness to him who is the Lord of our coming kingdom, Jesus our Saviour and King of the ages. Blessed be God for ever. Note 25. Meditation. Any day now, if you are reading this in season, and global warming being what it is, you'll be seeing the first snowdrops pushing through the soil, harbingers of spring. In the Narnia books, the breaking of the spell over the land shows as the first signs of thaw set in, and Father Christmas's sleigh is seen again. Note 26. Not, of course, Christ, even if some do get confused, but bringing presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, that are signs of the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, to come. The third Advent candle is for John the Baptist, the forerunner, the icebreaker. It is time to move from long-term waiting to short-term preparation. You may well be decking your hall with holly this week and loading the loft with presents and the larder with provisions. What will you deck your soul with, good Christian? And what good things has your Father in heaven prepared for you to enjoy?
If you enjoyed that extract and you have sight loss, you can get hold of the entire book from Torch in Braille, Daisy Audio and Giant Print for just $4.99. Now today, we've been talking about joy and I'd like to share a very cheerful poem with you now. It was sent to us in our digital cafe group for blind and partially sighted people on Facebook. And it's called Smiling is Infectious. And don't you think it's lovely when you can hear a smile in someone's voice? I certainly do.
Smiling is Infectious. Author unknown. Read by Sheila Dunning. Smiling is infectious. You catch it like the flu. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I passed around the corner and someone saw my grin. When he smiled, I realised I'd passed it on to him. I thought about that smile, then I realised its worth. A single smile, just like mine, could travel round the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let's start an epidemic quick and get the world infected.
His mercy goes on. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to those who reverence Him. It goes on from generation to generation to those who reverence Him. It goes on from generation to generation.
That was Mary's Song of Joy by Vineyard Music. Something which is often sent around Christmas time with the aim of spreading a little joy is the humble Christmas card. But can Christmas cards achieve their goal and bring joy to a blind person who can't see the cheerful pictures or message? Well, here are Lynn Davies and Matthew Horsepool exploring how Christmas cards can be made more accessible.
The whole thing of accessible Christmas cards is actually quite a detailed topic when you get into it, because there are, if you think about it, there's three components to a Christmas card. There is the message inside the card, which is what people immediately think about when they think about accessible Christmas cards. Actually, even that has two components, because you have the message that you write and then you have the message that's already printed in the card. And then you have the card itself, the design of the card. And then you have the envelope, which is probably the least important bit. But, you know, if you're sending Christmas cards to lots of people in the same household, you know, how do you know which, you know, which card is for who? So I think probably taking each one of those in turn. And I think probably the design of the card is probably the easiest bit to get accessible. And I think probably the thing that I would concentrate on most.
That's right. I mean, having said that, I have received Christmas cards with Braille in them that I've really appreciated, because people have taken the time to order them. And you can order personalised Braille Christmas cards. That is possible from the RNIB. But I agree with you that most people might not know about that service, or they think about it too late so that there's no time to order them. So the design is very important, and something tactile or something where the person can guess what's in the picture. So the objective not being guess what's in the picture, but the objective being, you know, you can feel that there's something there, and it also says I've made an effort for you. So like one time I got this Christmas card that folded out into this lovely 3D nativity scene. And that was one of the Christmas cards I kept. I think I kept it for a whole year, because it was a scene that I could enjoy, and it was so intricate and nicely done. And I think that's hands down the best Christmas card I've ever received.
I think if I was thinking about the best Christmas card I ever received, it would have to be the most basic Christmas card I ever received, because the more intricate you get with pictures and with tactile, you know, the harder it is, certainly for me, I don't know about you, Lynn, but the harder it is for me to actually figure out what's in the picture. So I've had some really intricate pictures on Christmas cards that I just haven't been able to figure out. The best Christmas card I ever got, or certainly the most memorable, was literally a folded up piece of A4 card. So it was a piece of A4 card. It had been folded into A5. down the middle, so it looked like a card. And on the front of the card, someone had made a cardboard cutout of a Christmas tree out of an old cardboard box. So it was literally just a piece of old cardboard box that had been cut into at the Christmas tree shape and stuck on the front of this card. So obviously, to a sighted person, this would have looked, you know, horrendous, right? It would have been this really plain, awful yes. card, not decorative in the slightest. But, you know, I took it out of the envelope, and what I saw, what I felt was a card with a Christmas tree on the front. And yeah. I was immediately able to tell this is a card with a Christmas tree on the front. And that made such a difference because I wasn't spending half the time going, what is this anyway?
No, I agree. And it's almost like when something is very plain to a sighted person, it's very exciting to us and vice versa. So I have received Christmas cards with pictures on them. It could be like I think one I received was a cat under a Christmas tree with a Christmas stocking in the claws. And I couldn't actually understand that picture very well. I appreciated that it was a tactile picture, but I had to have someone describe it to me. But I think if I'd had that kind of cutout Christmas tree picture, I would have really appreciated that as well.
Mm.
So that is really how simple it is. If you're a Christmas card maker and you sit and you make your homemade Christmas cards, and I realise this episode might come out a bit late for some people because they've already done it. But it's something to keep in mind maybe for next year, that the simpler the better, and just cutting something out and pasting it onto the card will actually not look that cheap to a blind person, in a sense. Or no. it might look that cheap. It might send a better message, in a sense that it will give the person more value. Like, it will be more valuable to somebody because they know what's on there.
Yeah, definitely. So the inside of the card, this is where you have your message. As Lynn has already said, you can get pre-brailled or personalised braille greetings cards. It's definitely worth Googling. There are quite a few places out in America, actually, that will do it. And I mean, it's probably a bit late for this year again, but certainly for next year, if you allow enough time for postage, the products out of America are quite a lot better than the products out of England, in my experience anyway. But yeah, you can get Braille greetings cards. You can also sometimes go to your local resource centre for the blind, and they will have, you know, somebody that comes in once a week that does a bit of Braille for this sort of thing. I know that if you went to Coventry, they would definitely be able to braille you up a short message for a Christmas card. And what they might also be able to do, if the resource centre is far away, what they might be able to do is produce it on sticky back, see-through plastic. And so I know that what my grandparents do, they finally admitted to it, what my grandparents did a few years ago was get 10 copies of the same message all brailled out on a sheet of sticky plastic. And then every year they get the Christmas card sticky plastic out and they stick another one of the messages
stick another
in.
One.
Yeah. So the
and
message
it's identical.
That's right. The message on the card is exactly the same. But because it's been a year since I received the last one, I've kind of forgotten what the last one said anyway. And it'll, you know, it's all the same. So there are ways and means of getting Braille onto a card. And yeah, you can either put the card straight into a Perkins Brailler or you can get this sticky stuff. Most people, I think, will do greetings cards on sticky plastic, particularly if the card is tactile, because they don't want to disrupt the tactile by putting the card in the brailler. But it's amazing, you know, people will get the personalized message in the card brailled, but they won't get the pre-printed message brailled. Now, this doesn't bother me at all, but what does happen, that there are some quite interesting social things that happen when someone comes around and they look at a card and they go, oh, that's a nice poem. And I sort of have to go, oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And sort of mime along and pretend like I've read the poem, because the alternative is to say, is it? I haven't read that yet. And then you've got this really awkward conversation where somebody, number one, reads the poem out to you so that you know what it says. And number two, berates the person who sent the card for not thinking of putting the poem in Braille as well. And I mean, that those are just conversations that I absolutely hate having.
I've never had that conversation, funnily enough. I am one of those people who will say, what poem? And people have just read the poem to me and not said anything about it. So
you're
I haven't
very lucky,
been subjected
I
to that. And also, I have friends that berate themselves. They're like, oh, I've given you a Christmas card and it's completely inaccessible. I just didn't want to not give you a Christmas card. Like, okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine.
Well, we're almost out of time for today. But if you'd like to hear the full version of Lynn and Matthew's Christmas card conversation, you can listen to the podcast Insights. All episodes of the show are available on Torch's website. Just go to torchtrust.org and select Radio and Podcasts in the drop-down menu titled Living with Sight Loss. Before we go, I think we have time for just one more joyful piece. And this is A Thought for the Week from Ian Lackey about another festive tradition, which certainly brings a lot of joy.
We are now well into the season of nativity plays. Anyone who has children in the early years of school knows this only too well. Some of you in the dim and distant past may even have taken the part of a shepherd or an angel in just such a play. I myself once had a walk-on part as one of the kings. Yes, I know the Bible says there were wise men from the east and not kings, and their number was not stated. But I did my walk-on bit anyway, to the sound of We Three Kings of Orient Are. However, I didn't do what the little boy of a friend of mine did this year. He decided that the doll playing the part of the baby Jesus should wear his crown. I suspect he didn't know it, but he was doing something that I hope in future life he will discover is very wise. From the Bible, we learn that Jesus was born into very humble circumstances, to people of a lowly social class, with his only resting place at birth being a manger. Yet, he was God's son, and as St. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, for our sakes he was willing to surrender all that this meant and take on the form of human flesh with all its weaknesses and limitations. With all the business and merrymaking of the Christmas season, let's not forget that the one who is the King of Heaven, through whom and for whom all things were created, was born among us and would tread the road that would lead some 30 years later to his dying on the cross for us. At Christmas time, we remember that a king has come among us. What better way to acknowledge him than to give to him the crown of our lives? Surely he deserves nothing less. And as the Christmas hymn In the Bleak Midwinter reminds us, we can all give him our hearts. This is what he desires from us above all else.
Possibly imagine all the joy and the wonder, all the beauty of heaven, all that God has prepared for those who love him. He's making a way where there is no way. He's pouring out streams in the desert. He's preparing a place with him face to face. Thank you.
healing and the joy of his presence beyond all believing. And there's no condemnation from the one who loves us. Our God is for us, so who can be against us? We're coming to
was my song, Joy of My Heart. To leave us a comment, question or suggestion, give us a call on 01858 438 260. That's 01858 438 260 or email info@torchtrust.org. And remember, we have a couple of special shows coming up soon, including our Christmas Day one-hour special, which will air on RNIB Connect at 8 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. and our New Year's Eve hour-long episode, which will air at 9 a.m. So don't miss either of those, will you? Well, we'll be back next week on Christmas Eve at 9 a.m. So until then, from me, Marilyn, and everyone on the Reflections team, goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections from Torch Trust.